Welcome to the Threesome Podcast with me, Lex, and my girl, Stacy.
Me.
My old work partner, my friend, my confidant for all these years. We never thought we would work together again, but here we are.
Here we are.
I guess we call it working together. I mean, the fact of the matter is we're not getting paid for this.
I consider this Lexi Poo playtime.
Yes. Stacy and I used to be a once every 6 month, 2 or 3 hour phone call.
Yes, phone call.
Yeah. Because she was too far away to go bang.
Yes.
So we just decided we would talk every once in a while and fill each other in on what's going on in our pathetic lives. So now we bring you along for the ride once a week for an hour. There'll be some of that in there, but we like to talk about other people's lives and shit going on with them and so on. So we've never been short on being able to talk about other people's lives, have we?
No. We can go hours and hours.
Nope. And that's why I love this podcast so much. You're so fun to talk about other people's misfortunes and such. And we will do that today. We, of course, have Ray Rice to touch on, which we will. We also have all kinds of petty things to talk about, you know, TMZ type stuff, which is always fun.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll just go ahead and mosey along here like we always do. I don't know if you know who LaShawn McCoy is.
No, I do not.
But he is a guy that's happens to be the best running back in the NFL right now.
Okay. So most people would know who he is. I just don't.
Yeah. Okay. You may or may not. You know, depends on how much NFL you watch, which doesn't sound like much.
No.
And he is a pretty cool guy. But he kind of got in a little bit of trouble lately because he went to a restaurant and he said that his service was subpar and he left a 20-cent tip.
Okay, I saw something about this on like Twitter, but I didn't follow like the entire story. So I do have like a vague idea about this.
So he said, listen, just because I'm rich and have a lot of money and have some stature doesn't mean that you can give me crappy service and be disrespectful to me and I'm going to tip you well. So here we have a guy that everybody knows who he is, and he left a 20-cent tip, and of course the waitress ran with it all day long, or server. And I'm not even sure if it's a dude or a chick, to be honest with you.
Right.
It's just lunch on a weekday afternoon at a burger joint. And the bill was $61.56. He left a 20-cent gratuity and signed the tab with a flourish, is what it says. And when he caught up with LaShawn, he said, you can't disrespect somebody and expect them to tip you. I don't care who the person is. That's why I left my card so they could see my name.
But he also can't expect, let's be honest, if he had terrible service, and I actually agree with what he's saying, because you have $1 billion does not mean that when you walk into a restaurant, you know, that waitress, waiter, whoever, server expects, oh yeah, I'm going to get a $500 tip out of this.
Yeah.
You know, and unfortunately I think that that is kind of the mindset, you know, and I do agree. If that is the case and he is a big tipper elsewhere, you know, if she or he had done a great job and he does give out that $100 tip, you know what, either don't tip at all or give your basic 20% tip with nothing above and beyond. But the 20-cent tip was him being a douchebag. And if he thinks that people shouldn't be expecting a tip if they didn't do a good job, likewise, he shouldn't be expecting people to keep their mouths shut if he was a douchebag.
All right. Now, I think I can speak on both sides of this because I've worked in a restaurant as a waiter a couple of times, and I was in a town where you would have to agree we were high in stature in Jacksonville, right?
Yes.
So, you know, as we are in some other towns as well, but in that one, at the time, like when you were working for us, I'd have to say we were ruling
fucking stars.
We were ruling the roost.
Yes.
And apparently, ratings wise, we still are there. But
good.
We could basically go into any restaurant, grocery store, movie theater, whatever, and get recognized.
Right.
Terry and I were both strangers to this for most of our lives. You know, we could go anywhere without being fucked with. But all of a sudden, we realized that we're under the microscope a little bit.
Right.
So there were times we went out and ate where the service wasn't all that, or the, you know, attention to our table and our guests and all that wasn't that good. But come tip time, he and I are leaving in upwards of 40-50% tips.
Right.
Because we don't want to hear it. How did we learn this? From Sam Kavaris.
Really?
Yeah, Sam apparently is a man of principle like LaShawn is. And he, of course, was famous in that town much longer and much more than we were.
Right.
And he apparently went to some places and did not get good service and felt that he should not leave a good tip. And we heard about it constantly. People were calling us up talking about what a shitty tipper Sam was. And I'd gone out and eat with Sam a couple of times and tried to watch to see what he was doing, you know, just because of the phone calls.
Right.
And he left great tips. But we also got great service. So
gotcha.
He just was a man of principle. He obviously went to some places where he and his guests got treated poorly and he tipped poorly.
And I understand.
I understand, too. But I also understood I didn't want to put myself through that. And regardless of the service, I tipped great. Through my whole career, I've tipped great. Even now, where I've actually filed for bankruptcy this year, I still tip great. Because I just can't do it.
Right.
I've worked in the restaurant business, and I've been treated shabbily by my employer and by people who have come in to eat who think that I should be doing more than serving them food and making their experience pleasant. Apparently, I should be going out and warming up their car for them, or I should be you know, going to get their kids something to play with, you know, so they're occupied while eating dinner or whatever the case is. And I would do such things only to get no tip or no extra compensation for it. Like it was an expectation.
Right.
And
unfortunately, that right there in a nutshell from both sides is the issue. Servers expected to be tipped well by rich people. And other people, you know, servers also expect, you know, to like be treated decently. And then the customers expect, you know, things. They expect world-class perfect service.
Yeah, I expected 18% no matter what. Those kind of people usually give you 15%.
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, it's kind of funny. It also goes with rock stars. You know, the bigger they are, the nicer they are. If you're some guy that just got a record deal, chances are you were a complete prick to me when I was in the music business. But if you're Robert Plant, you don't mind sitting in a room with me for 3 hours and talking.
Right.
You know, it's just, or Bruce Springsteen or whoever the case was. It just seemed like the bigger they were, the nicer they were, the more down to earth they were. You know, and those that just got signed, you know, thought that, oh, good, this is my chance to act like the Sex Pistols, you know, and be complete pricks. And even when I met the Sex Pistols, they were awesome.
Does that have something? We're going off on a tangent. I apologize. So hold the tip
thought.
No,
we're not.
But
we're not.
Do you think, though, because usually most people, when they're first signed, are young, and some of that attitude is youth versus, you know, a 45-year-old Robert Plant who's like seen it all and really could just appreciates conversation more than he did when he was 19?
No, because there were young artists that came through that had total perspective on how lucky they were that they got signed and were very kind and very nice. But on the whole, you know, looking at the giant pendulum, so to speak, it seemed that was the act of the day, was if you were just getting signed. And also, let's put this into genres. If you were a singer-songwriter like Melissa Etheridge was when I met her, and she didn't have a penny to her name, she was kind, she was sweet, she was grateful. But the hair bands off of Sunset were total dickheads.
Right.
But that's just... I think you're right. I think there was an expectation for them to, you know, I'm going to throw this TV out the window.
Right.
You know.
And when you're 45, you're like, oh, do I have to do that again? I just want to sit here.
I mean, I was with a band that I was producing their world premiere. I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody like Mr. Big or somebody like that. I'm just pulling that name out of my ass because we had them on the show this week. But it was a band like that that just basically got signed and was having a little bit of success. And I got stuck in a hotel room with them and was just hanging out. And they were just, we got room service and they were like throwing food at each other. And it's landing on the floor and it's getting stepped into the carpet. And they thought this was funny. And I, of course, am having to babysit these guys for the most part. And I just said, why are you guys doing this? And they said, 'cause we can. And I went, no, you can't.
And then you slapped them all on the wrist.
We're paying the fucking hotel bill and... You know, I've got my orders that there are to be no extreme costs. So, no, you can't. So, pick the fucking bun up.
You know what, though? Because there has, you know, since the 60s, there's been all of the hotel room trashings and everything. Yeah. I blame a lot of that, again, on the record industry themselves because they let that happen for so long.
Oh, yeah. They actually called the label and said I was being a prick to them. And when I talked to the guy at the label, now I know who the label is. It's Warner Brothers. I'm trying to think of who the band was. He said, look, we had to go through a lot to get this band, so make them happy. And I went, dude, they can't throw all this shit all over the room because we're eating the cost on the, and he goes, we'll take care of the cost.
See, rewarding bad behavior.
Yeah. So at that point, you know, they saw they had a concerned citizen in me and they were like, you know, I'm going to throw this radio out the window. And I was like, go ahead.
When you hit someone, you enjoy losing everything in the lawsuit.
I said, I just found out I'm not paying for it, so I don't give a shit what you do.
You'll be playing county fairs for the next 30 years to pay for that lawsuit.
And, you know, so of course they start making fun of me, you know, and my $60,000 a year, and that's all I'm ever going to be, and all this stuff, and... I was just over there just taking my medicine, you know, just reading my book and watching TV and basically not giving them the time of day. It's like, God, it's the name of that fucking band. It's driving me crazy now. I'll remember it by the end of the show, but...
I hope so.
Yeah. God, they were cunts. I usually remember stuff like that, but I ran into that several times. And then I, as I worked there longer, I started dealing, you know, we got the respect we were looking for and started getting the bigger bands and bigger acts. And it stood out like a sore thumb that, you know, if you were a huge artist, that you were nice. And you didn't have to be 45 years old. There were some who were 30, you know, 25 even, you know. Eddie Vedder, fucking great guy. It was 26, 27 at the time. You know, just totally cool. And you could tell he always was. You could tell he wasn't ever a douchebag. You know, so I just think, you know, getting back to LeSean McCoy, I can understand where he wants to leave 20 cents. But if it's me, I just leave a 20 there because I'm LeSean McCoy and I don't go back there.
Or I understand.
Or I even.
I just think that the 20% tip, 15%, whatever, you know, so that you can say you tipped and say what I gave you, you know, what is expected. Your service was awful. You know, I just think that the 20 cents, he almost would have been better to just not tip at all.
Yeah. The Sidewinders was the name of that band.
Oh, I've never heard of them.
Yeah, there was a huge fight to sign them, and they had like two records for a cup of coffee, and away they went.
You good. That's called karma, kiddies.
And I ran into one of them like a year later, and they were still doing okay. And he remembered me, and he like pulled me aside and said, I'm really sorry about... There was the other guy who was a total dick in the band. He says, we don't see eye to eye in a lot of stuff. And he goes, I'm sorry about that. And I'm like, well, thanks. That would have meant a lot more that night.
Yeah, but, thanks for standing up, you know, for your ethics and your belief system there.
Yeah, but obviously he was the talent, the singer-songwriter in the band. And, you know, the other guys didn't want to upset them.
Right.
But, you know, which to me is just a gutless move. But I just really think if you're anybody of any stature, save yourself the trouble and just leave the tip. But I also hate him getting grief for it.
I think that he is deserving of the grief for the 20-cent tip. I don't think that if he had just come out and said, look, the service was awful, I think that he could have handled it differently. That's all. And as I said, I haven't even been paying attention to this instance, but the 20 cent thing was a douche move.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. But I don't want to hate on him too much.
No, because again, I agree. I do believe that, you know, just because you're worth a certain amount of money and you're rich and all this, it's not assumed that you're going to hand me your money.
Yeah.
I got you coffee twice.
He's also in a career that has a very short shelf life. And if you get injured on one play, an even shorter shelf life. You know, so he should watch his money and he should be careful about his money. I think.
Well, no, I agree. I don't know if that is the lifestyle, though, that a lot of professional athletes lead.
Yeah. And I just feel that way about it. I don't want any grief for anything I do inside of a restaurant, whether I'm famous or not.
Right.
And I don't think it's cool that they Facebook it and put it out there. You know, if I'm the manager of that restaurant, I get a hold of the Eagles, I get a hold of LeSean McCoy, and I ask what I can do to make it up to him.
Right. No, I agree with that.
That's just the way I would handle things. I hate people that put shit up on Facebook because I just think you're a pussy. You're just a passive-aggressive little piece of shit.
Yeah.
I always took great joy in telling somebody what I thought about them. I never would let Twitter and Facebook take that away from me. Now.
You need some joy in your life, too.
And I'm about to put some joy in your life. I just got an email here from our specialties company, and it's the mock-up of our beanies for the Threesome podcast.
Yay!
I am going to send it to you. Let me know what you think.
Okay.
I will also post these later so people can have a look-see. But we're going to sell these. I also got some Legend Cast hats I'm going to sell as well.
Cool.
And I just, I like swag, so I like having swag for our show. And since it's going into the cold season here, I just thought it would be awesome to have some beanies for us. Basically, the way it works is there's one part of it that says Threesome Podcast. And then on the back of it it says Lex Staley, Stacey Thorpe, and you.
Do you realize that this is the first time in my life that I've ever had something with my name on it?
There it goes. You just heard me send it to you.
We just popped some sort of cherry of mine.
Mm-hmm. And also on there is the fantastic LT2 logo that got made for us by Patriot nice. Graphics in the Panhandle. And there you have it. Let me know what you think of it. It's black, of course, like our personalities. And it's way cool. I'm very excited about it. And with the cold weather coming up, which is already here in Dallas, we're going to have a cool day today and tomorrow. I'm very excited about these.
High 57 today here.
Yeah. So, and being a bald guy, become
likey.
Yeah, isn't it cool?
I likey a lot.
Yeah, being a bald very guy, cool. I'm a beanie wearer anyway. Because you wouldn't believe how much heat escapes from your body through your head. It's crazy. I am cold all the time if I'm not wearing some sort of hat. And Aww. It's probably a sign I'm getting old. But I don't care. So
I want to see you in a bomber hat.
In a bomber hat?
Hat or one of those old, like Elmer Fudd. The red and black plaid with like the muff ear things that come down, and it's got the strap underneath and stuff.
Yeah, do you have a Facebook page?
No.
Oh, well, you see, I posted my Steelers bomber hat to open up the season.
Well, very cool.
Yeah, so
look at you.
I'll email that to you.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can check it out. It's the closest thing to a bomber hat I have. And, it's very zany. I only wear it for that to open up football season. Then it gets put away, so it's already been retired for the 2014 season.
What?
Yeah. So sad. But, you know, I have my dignity to think about.
It's all about your dignity.
It's always been all about my dignity. So yes. So there it is. That's that'll be on its way to you shortly.
Cool.
And you can make fun of it. No doubt in my mind that you will.
No.
And there you go. Now, I don't know if you know who Rory McIlroy is.
Nope.
but it really doesn't matter because I can basically explain it to you. He's the best golfer in the world right now.
Another thing I would not know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He basically is on track to be Tiger Woods. You know, he's won the last couple majors. He's got just sick game. The guy is unbelievable. And he was in a relationship with this young lady who was just in the finals of the U.S. Open tennis.
Okay.
Her name is, and God, I hope I get this right, Caroline Wozniacki.
Ah. Say that three times real fast.
Now, they were engaged to be married, and recently, right before the either British Open or U.S. Open, Rory broke off the engagement. and basically said that it was in the way of his career and he couldn't concentrate on his career and really put into it what he wanted to, so he broke off the engagement.
Now, when you break off an engagement in that situation, is that breaking up with her entirely or just saying, hey, I'm not marrying you right now?
I think there was more to it than just the career stuff. I just think he wasn't feeling it. He is kind of a womanizer. So in my perspective, he did the right thing for himself and for her.
It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, if you are a womanizer, and you know what, guys, if you're a womanizer, great. Have at it. Honestly.
Yeah.
I don't care. And honestly, I don't think a lot of women care. But if that is the case, and you have no intention of stopping being that way, then don't get married.
Yeah.
Have girlfriends, you know, where they will, you know and assume that you are in a semi-open relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But don't marry because when, unless you truly have found that gem of a woman, she's not, once you're married to her, she is probably not going to be quite as pleased that you're out pollinating with everything.
Yeah. And this girl is known to be very, very classy. Very engaging, nice, sweet, all the things you would want in a woman. And, it really never got disclosed what the main reason for the breakup was, but the speculation was, that he just had a epiphany that he shouldn't get married, that he should really concentrate on his career, and there's other women in his life up until her, and I guess she had a little extra going on and he just stopped. But at 25 years old, he wasn't sure if he was ready for, you know, marriage to take place in his career and his life and everything else. So shortly after being together for an extended period of time somewhere, he called her up and broke off the engagement.
Good. So he's 25 right now. I mean, that he is 25 years old.
Yeah, I think he just turned 26.
See, that is just so young, especially when you have a career like that and you are career oriented. You know, I would tell that to anyone, children, kids of my, you know, friends, kids of my friends and stuff. There is no reason for you to get married before 30, honestly.
Now, everybody tried to get disclosure out of him as to what the real problem with her was, but he didn't bite. He just said what I told you.
Right.
And had nothing bad to say about her or anything else, and anytime he was baited into it, he didn't do it. But Little Miss Classy was kind of different about it.
And, hell hath no fury.
And she said she was in no hurry to get in another relationship, but if she did have somebody in mind, I would like a taller guy so I can wear high heels. I'm pretty strict with my box ticking. I look for someone who is honest, fun to be around, and doesn't take himself too seriously. So what you read into that is Rory's kind of stuck on himself, and he's dishonest, probably talking about the other women, you know, in his,
right.
that when they're a part that he most likely indulged in or hung out with or whatever the case is. He's also best friends with Tiger Woods.
I'm guessing he knows some porn stars.
Yeah. Although the word on Tiger is that his perspective on life kind of changed after all that. Was kind of like, yeah, why am I doing this at such a fast and frivolous pace? It's, and my golf game is suffering. He's tried to regain what he had, but now injuries have crept in, and he's having difficulties. But I think his advice to Rory was, you are on the ride that I was on, and I blew it.
Right.
I stopped concentrating on my golf and started concentrating more on women and wrecking my marriage, and you have a chance to be truly the greatest golfer that ever lived. So if you want that, get away from the bitches. Concentrate on your golf game. Hence the taking himself too seriously and all that. But where I have a problem with this is, don't take a shot at somebody's height. There's nothing he can do about that.
I'm going to just say, and I agree. I agree with you on that.
Let me finish.
All right.
And you liked it okay in the beginning. You saw right past it when he was an engaging, charming young dude that you were, you know, after and liked. So now all of a sudden you have a problem with it. That's bullshit.
But look at it from the other instance. Let's just say, and this is all speculation, okay? She goes into the relationship with him. She truly has no issue with his height, whatever it is. She's not even thought about it.
Right.
But you know what? He has an issue with his height, and he starts putting that off on her. Please don't wear high heels. Please, I don't want you taller than me. Suddenly, she's hearing about it all the time. You know, don't stand like that because you make me look short. If that is what she's hearing all the time, then guess what? His height now becomes her issue, and she doesn't want to deal with it anymore.
Maybe that's not the case, though.
Well, as I said, speculation.
Yeah. Maybe that's not the case. Maybe he just thought that, you know what, I may say something about this or make fun of myself here and there about my size, which tells her that there's an issue there, but it probably was nothing more than that.
You know, every woman that has ended up no longer with Tom Cruise has made comments. If you look back, like Nicole Kidman obviously has never said boo, because I imagine there's some weird contract with Scientology and stuff going on. But the one thing that you can ever hear her or she has said in the past has made comments about the fact that she can wear heels now, you know, that she can be tall because she couldn't be tall when she was with Tom Cruise. I don't know. I bet that it was probably somewhere between what you're thinking and what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
She could be a little spiteful right now because, you know, she's hurt. She's upset. But at the same time, yeah, she didn't think about it when she first started dating him. But he certainly let it be known in some way that, you know, his height bothered him.
Well, I thought it was kind of a bitchy low blow type of thing, and she waited till she was at the height of her notoriety after making it to the finals of the U.S. Open, and until Serena leaves, that's probably as far as she's gonna get as far as winning a major.
Long has it been? I mean, has it been like 2 years, or was it just like 3 months ago?
Oh, no, this was just a few months ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
He probably cheated on her. He, knowing that he screwed up, was being very nice. You know, he's not going to be the one who both cheated and then trash her in the media. And because she was the one who was cheated upon, she is allowed those little comments here and there.
Yeah, I guess so. I hate when a chick fucking does that. Or when a dude does that. You know, I'm trying to go through my Rolodex memory here about a dude that's done it to a chick. And I remember thinking, I can't remember who it was, but there is a guy in Hollywood that, you know, is like a Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston type of thing, but it wasn't them. I think it was John Mayer. And he said something about Taylor Swift, I think is who it was. And I was just like, why? You know, you have to.
Well, I think it was because she had written that song. What was it? Dear John or something about him.
Yeah.
See, and she does her own thing.
Yeah. Well, I was getting to that, you know. But these people have to coexist in a very small space. The elite 1% of music, film, and TV in Hollywood.
Right.
And I just think you should shut your fucking mouth when it comes to relationships. I have a whole litany of things I'd love to say about my past relationship, good and bad, but I just don't. I don't like other people saying stuff about it.
Right.
You know, and including, you know, it's like when my chick now says something about her past relationships, it makes me cringe. Because that could be me one day.
Right.
You know, what are you going to say about me one day when I'm not around? You know, that I had no idea was fucking going on. You know?
Right. Unfortunately, you don't have that control over other people.
No.
You know, I guess
nor do
ultimately,
I want it.
Right. You just deal with things the way you want to, and usually that involves how you hope other people will treat you.
Yeah.
But realistically, we know that never happens.
No, it doesn't. But I've gotten some pretty thick skin over the years. I used to not have it, but, you know, thanks to, you know, the group I hang out with every morning, I had no choice but to grow an extra 17 or 18 layers of skin.
Right.
And
I commend you for it.
And, yeah, you know what it's like to be in here. It's like, you know, it's like one of those WWE cage matches where, you know, only one person comes out at the end.
And it's all verbal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ugly and feelings get hurt and all that stuff, but, you know, at least we know what the environment is. We're honest about that, you know, so when the show's over, we tend to move on. We have to.
Right. Yes.
You know, but
otherwise, everyone's going home and weeping in their respective bedrooms.
Yeah, they're in their corner, you know, laying next to the dog. You know,
drinking.
You probably have the dog up against you, like, you know, you're hugging a teddy bear or something.
Wow.
You know, it's just, you know, relationships suck in that manner.
Yes. Did I tell you I didn't? I put my big, big fluffy dog to sleep last week.
You mean without talking to it? Just.
No, I petted him while it happened.
Oh. I'm so sorry.
I know. Thank you.
He
was the one you guys met. I brought him into the studio.
Oh, God.
Once.
Oh, God, God, God. What a great dog. I am so sorry.
And want to hear something this is embarrassing, and I haven't been public about this, but I'm going to be public now because, see, back last
March. You're tearing up a little bit.
No, I'm not yet. Actually, I'm pretty good because okay. This is embarrassing and kind of funny, right. And I guess somewhat rednecky. Last March, the kitty love of my life, my kitty, died. And because last winter was terrible. You remember, I mean, it was very cold, especially up here in Michigan. The ground was frozen and I wasn't going to discard her. So we have a deep freeze in the basement. And so she went into the freezer.
Oh my God.
And so she got buried with Jet last week.
Oh my God, Stacey.
She was wrapped in a. I have not gone in that freezer since March. I couldn't do it. She was wrapped in a towel and then was wrapped in a garbage bag, so she wasn't touching anything, and it was all she was frozen solid. So when we, because Jet was a 100-pound dog, he was a big, fluffy, giant dog. And so Jeff, my husband, dug this very deep hole. It was at least 4 feet deep because I have this fear now that like animals are going to come dig him up. And that horror and trauma of like finding parts of my dog and cat like in the yard. So it was a very deep hole. And so we very nicely laid him in there and then put Fuggy on top of him. And so they are both buried together now.
Wow.
I know.
I mean, part of that story's sweet. The other half is pretty fucked up.
It's horrifying. And again, you know, and I've already had talks with like my two other big dogs. It was like, you know, because we basically have a nursing home for canines because all of my dogs I had when I was on the show with you guys, except mm-hmm. for one. She's younger. So I have a Pom that's 14 and then the two big dogs that are old are both 13. And I keep asking them, you know, are you going to make it through another winter? Because you're not going to fit in the freezer until the ground thaws. And I don't, you know, the Pom will fit in the freezer and the cats will fit in the freezer. But I will be horrified if I have to, you know, I guess throw them away. And I really don't see like spending money to have them, you know, cremated.
Yeah, I get it. You know, it is expensive to have them cremated and, you know, have them put in a box and everything. I mean, because, you know, my marriage broke up and I had Bart. You remember my dog Bart?
I remember Bart.
You know, I had him, his ashes, and they gave me a great presentation in the box and all that stuff. And I lost it in the divorce. I lost my current dog in the divorce.
Really?
Yeah.
You couldn't take the ashes of your dog?
No. I left the house, Stacy. I just left. So anything I had either got thrown away or she kept it because she wanted it or, you know, who knows?
You couldn't. Oh, I'm sorry.
I think she has taken some of the stuff and put it in storage somewhere. You know, and I think for various reasons she's done that. But I've been told by my daughter that everything's gone.
I'm sorry.
Well, I knew that when I left. I knew it wasn't going to be pretty, and I understand. I just have to understand that reaction to me leaving.
I know, but still, some things again, like the ashes of your dog.
Yeah, well, it was hard.
Unless
to,
you could just get like a confirmation that he was sprinkled somewhere that was nice, you know, at least like a tree in the park nearby.
Well,
or something.
She may still have the. I mean, it was her dog too, you know. So I don't think she's disrespecting him or whatever. She may still have it.
Right.
You know, I haven't spoken to her about that. And probably never will.
Aww.
So, you know, I've when it comes to pets and saving their ashes and stuff like that, it hasn't been very realistic for me ever getting to actually do that. The only ashes I've ever spread were my mom's, and I had to take them on a plane with me. I don't know if you remember that. That I had to.
I just remember your dad. I don't remember your mom.
Yeah, my dad's ash spreading was awesome. The U.S. Navy did it.
I remember I cried.
Yeah.
When you were talking about.
Oh my
it.
God! So I still well up when that, you know, when that kind of, and that's another video that I don't have. You know.
You need to ask for that one. You do. before it does, you know, enough time goes by, and maybe she doesn't even do it on purpose, but it gets put into a box. You know, there are things like this. You need to keep a running tally that are sentimental, and honestly, like the video of your dad and what happened, you know, with that, you would have to be truly just an awful person to destroy that or throw it away or something. Surely she would give that to you if you asked for it. That's, you've got to at least ask. God, Lex, that was, you've got to ask.
You don't think I've asked?
Have you? And she won't?
Yeah, not only have I asked, but it's actually like in writing, like in, you know, the decree and stuff like that. Listen, it's an ugly thing. You know, it just is. I just reserve hope that one day, you know, it'll get less ugly and conversations can be had about such things. But I don't see that happening.
I'm really, really sorry.
Yeah. And I understand, you know, how hurt and all that she is. I get incensed that she doesn't understand my reasons for the same things. You know, I just
pain don't. Makes you less empathetic towards other people.
Yeah, it does. So,
you know,
but anyway, I don't want to talk about all that.
Yeah, it's sorry. Like,
it's, you know, get back to dog ashes.
Well, I can assure everybody that if my husband and I get divorced, I am not going to be going out and digging up dead animals in the backyard.
No.
To make any kind of points.
No, not at all. Just, it's just a sad subject altogether. But I understand why you did what you did, but it's pretty fucked up throwing your cat in the freezer.
I know. As I said, I have not been public. It's like I told my mom and kind of apologized because I was
Jeffrey
like,
Dahmer wasn't public either.
I know.
But let's move on to somebody you have heard of.
Okay.
I'm just going to say the name and I want to hear your thoughts.
Okay.
You too.
I remember when they in INXS made that weird switch.
What do you mean?
Where they kind of became each other. Does that make sense? It was like,
no.
when like in the 80s, U2 was like all about, you know, war and social issues and stuff.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they became INXS. And INXS seemed to become deeper at that point and, you know, not so fluffy.
Yeah. Yeah. You're talking about Suicidal Blonde and...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously we knew what was happening in his head, you know, ultimately.
Both of them.
But yes. But I am finding you two... to be completely boring.
Yes.
And almost a cliche.
Yes.
Because I did see them after their first record came out. I got flown to Boston to see them.
Woohoo.
And saw them in a shitty little club. And I... was never the same. I just had never heard anything like it. I really wasn't exposed to bands from other countries outside of England that had, you know, thoughts about the world coming from their perspective, you know.
Right.
Because the Beatles really didn't do that. Their thoughts about politics and war and all that stuff were pretty cliche as well. You know, you two brought to light issues that were happening right in their face. You know, right. The Irish Republican Army and the Protestants and Catholics and all that stuff. Stuff I didn't understand or know anything about, but that's what their music was about at the time. And
I know it made you know, kids, people who tend to be a little more superficial, be aware of things, especially we as Americans who keep our heads in the sand a lot.
Yeah, and he, you know, he's talking about you know, how they're in the garage making music, and his friends across the street are cleaning their guns, you know, and readying themselves for whatever comes down their street ultimately, right. and stuff like that. And I was just riveted by the shit he was saying in between songs, and of course the music itself, and just, you know, the way how grungy they looked, and, you know, they looked like they hadn't had a fucking meal in 2 or 3 weeks, you know,
right.
I mean, it was just fucking cool.
They were about the music,
mm-hmm.
and the message.
And the thing that disturbs me is, I think they still are, but their message is boring. It's about, you know, his wife and his children and his, you know, beautiful countryside vineyard home. And
and again, we can't relate, but in a different way.
And, you know, so he's still writing about shit that's real and real to him, but this is how far his life's come. And he still has concern from afar about world issues, but it's not really in the music anymore.
Right.
And then the ultimate corporate sellout, to be at the Apple presentation, the yearly Apple presentation, and their new album being a free download on iTunes.
Yes.
Which, by the way, people really didn't want. They didn't give a fuck about it.
Right.
And I hate that too, when I have stuff just download that I have no say over, that I got to go back and get rid of. And if you...
Oh, it just showed up on your Apple's? Oh.
Yeah. And if you have iTunes, I don't know.
It up like once a year.
Yeah. If you have iTunes, then you know as well as I do that once you have something on iTunes, you can delete the shit out of it, but it really never goes away.
Right.
You know, so every time you buy a new device or something, all this stuff just reappears.
Right.
And I'm always intermittently buying a new iPad or iPhone. So I deal with this twice a year, where all this stuff that I took painstakingly amounts of time to delete are back. And it's the same thing with TV shows and movies and all that. You bought and paid for it, and they're letting you know you bought and paid for it, even though you deleted it. Like, okay, saw it, and I'm done with it. I'm good. I appreciate it, but if I want it, I'll go back and ask for it since I paid for it.
Right.
But I want it off my device and off my storage and all that. And they don't want that. You know why? Because they want you to pay for iCloud storage.
Oh. Which we know now, you know, is really worth it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Justin Verlander is one who wishes he could have just deleted stuff and it went away. But I hate to tell you this, but that movie's going to pop up. You know, anytime he gets a brand new device, even though it's deleted. And I don't want anybody calling me up and saying, no, you just have to do this or do that, because I've done it all. I've done every suggestion that's been thrown my way, and the shit shows back up.
It's kind of scary how much they know,
yeah.
You know, and how much, I guess, a corporation like that retains about you.
Yeah. And this album, you know, has some cool shit on it. Kind of a tribute to the Ramones on it, on one of the songs.
Wah.
It's called The Miracle of Joey Ramone, and it's got a very Ramones-type sounding guitar in the middle of it. It's kind of cool. But seeing him with the current CEO of Apple and saying, hey, and this guy's in pants that are up to his belly button and a blue button-down shirt and, you know, gray hair going, you know, and we're gonna give you a free download of the new U2 album with my friend Bono. That's Bono. Bono!
I was so hoping they were going to have, like, the hologram of Steve Jobs there.
Yeah. Or something.
How fun would that be?
That'd be fucking amazing. But the... I know we're running out of time, but the... It really bummed me out, and it made me realize that I haven't been enthusiastic about a U2 release in almost, dare I say it, 20 years.
I know.
20 years. 20. Was the last...
I saw them in Tampa, what would have been like the mid to late 90s, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah.
Huge stadium show, you know.
And...
It was fun.
People still want to see their stadium show, you know, because you get to hear all the old stuff. You know, the stuff that were the hits, you know, from the first, you know, four or five records. But,
hoping that none of them break a hip on stage when they're jumping around.
Yeah. No, I mean, you know, they don't have that persona yet.
Not as long as Mick Jagger is taking breaths,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. And they really don't. I mean, these guys are in good shape and take care of themselves. You know, they really do. They when you see them perform.
Well, when you are like multi-billionaires, it's much easier to take care of yourself, you know.
Well, yeah. But, you know, still people say, oh, you get hip replacements, you know, all that stuff. And they're not.
I bet you Eddie Van Halen doesn't laugh when people say that.
Yeah. Eddie Van Halen, from what I understand, doesn't laugh anymore, period.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he just a bitter, hateful old man?
I think so.
Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah.
He was such a cutie in his day.
Yeah, I mean, he still looks good. Eddie still looks good. So does Alex. Both of them still look great. Michael Anthony looks amazing. He looks the same.
Really?
Yeah. He's put on some weight, but, you know, he, you know, his skin and his hair and all that, he still looks like he's 30 years old.
Good.
Yeah, and I saw him playing with Sammy, and, you know, they were down in Cabo or something like that for some yearly show, and he showed up. And, you know, Sammy's pushing 70, and he looked like $1 million.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God!
But you'd never you when you look at him and see him perform, you'd never realize it. I mean, Sammy looks like he's 45 years old.
Wow!
And he's pushing 70.
Holy crap!
Once again, he's put on some weight. You know, has a little bit of a beer belly and stuff like that. But he looks great on stage. I saw him about 5 or 6 months ago, and he was awesome.
Well, good.
You know, so there is hope out there. I mean, these guys, as long as they want to perform, you know, I'll let them perform and go see them and all that. But U2 really hasn't done anything musically relevant in 20 years is my point. And this just looks
does
like...
Does Sammy do any, like, old Montrose stuff when he's
oh,
performing?
Oh, God, yeah. That's all the stuff he does.
Good. You know?
It's a, yeah.
Like Rock Candy and uh-huh. Bad Motor Scooter.
Yeah, he does like a medley of, like, that album.
Nice. It,
yeah. I mean, you know, because Rock Candy is a great fucking song. Yeah. Hot, sweet, and sticky.
Yes.
Yeah, it's badass. But anyway, Stace, we got to cut out. This
we
has
do.
Been a threesome podcast with me, Lex, her, Stacy, and we love doing it for you on the LT2 channel. Please check your app for playtimes. of the Legend Cast and, of course, the Threesome Show, as well as all the other great shows that are on the LT2 channel. I would love to name them all, but we're pushed for time right now. Do want to thank Drew Hillis of DBC for making it all possible. And we will see you next week with a brand new Threesome podcast. Goodbye.
Bye.